You know, Michael, I'm sure this is not going to be the first time you've heard this question, but the Trump campaign is also going after the vice president for not doing enough interviews, for not holding a press conference. Would it kill you guys to have a press conference? Why hasn't she had a press conference?
Listen, the vice president and Governor Walz have been busy crisscrossing this country since the launch of this campaign and adding Governor Walz to the ticket. You saw the ways in which they went to across the battleground states last week, generating rallies of thousands, 10,000 here, 15,000 there. But
Michael, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference.
It's going to be inclusive.
Do you mind if I cut in? I mean, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference. Why hasn't she had a press conference? She's the vice president. She can handle the questions. Why not do it?
Oh, we absolutely are going to do it. You hear her take questions as she's out on the stump. And she's, as she said last week, we're going to be having a sit-down interview here before the end of the month.
But it's been 24 days since she's had one. I mean, that's like 24 days of her not, you know, answering questions of the press. She has nothing on her website, which I talked about. If you get the rundown, she doesn't have anything on her website that gives any indication. I mean, golly, how many damn days do I have to talk about the same damn topic? Get off your ass and talk to the press so I have new content, for the love of all things holy. Welcome to the show. Dana Loesch with you. We are at the top of this first hour. You can obviously, you know how to listen. You're listening somehow if you're hearing us. So channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble as well, where the discussion happens, X, all that good stuff. She's got a bad spokesperson. I feel like her campaign spokesperson's not very good, right? Is it just me? I feel like her campaign spokesperson isn't like the best that they could have. I just feel like they're not very good because they have not been, they haven't been helpful in terms of deterring, I think, a lot of the stuff that she's dealing with here. The questions, I mean, the fact that, I mean, there's like so many things. We have all of this instability in the Middle East, and yet she, you would think that this is where she would be trying to find some daylight and lead on, and they're not doing any of that. You think that's what she and Harris Walz, you think that that's what they would be doing, but they're not doing it. Instead, it's just odd. I mean, you have all of these opportunities to demonstrate leadership and strength, and they're rejecting all of them to talk about what? Weird, joy, and I don't know. That's what we're getting. This is so goofy. It's just the stupidest political cycle, I think, in recent memory. And I made a compilation. We need to get a compilation of him saying this. Because I had a compilation that I put out on Twitter last night where you see, apparently, I guess he focused group calling things damned. Like, mind your damn business. Mind this. Do we have video of all of it together? Oh, okay. Well, there's video of him, like, saying all these things. He's like, oh, well, it's, you know, mind your damn business, you know, this, damn that. I feel like I guess they focused group that, and it worked really well for him. There's tons of video of him saying it. He's tweeted about it, and that's all he's got. That's like their big, I guess that's what he's trying, the way he's trying to like project strength. It's weird, right? It's weird. It's just weird. But that's their big offense. He feels like that's what brings the toughness. That's what brings, look, I'm a doer. I can say damn a million times. This is the stupidest, like I said, the absolute stupidest political cycle in which I have ever had the misfortune of commentating on. I'm not kidding. I mean, you guys, it's like gotten dumber every cycle. I'm talking about we're looking at the idiocracy candidates here. Harris Walz, this guy. So we're still no questions. We have early voting that starts in a month for Pennsylvania and a number of these other areas. And in the meantime, this is something very interesting. So first off, what came out yesterday, I think it was like an accidental scoop from Axios. It's really weird. It was like this accidental thing with them where she was apparently, her campaign is editing news headlines in her favor, and then they're running them as ads. So it looks like it's a news headline, but it's, you know, it's not a news headline, it's an ad. And they've been silently doing this to make it seem like these news entities are on her side. Now, Axios reported on it yesterday, and it said, and they're sponsored. They have a thing. It's not. So let me explain it, make it very clear. They find actual headlines and they edit those headlines and they make it look like a Google search. And then they put it up. They pay for it as an ad and they put it up. And it's and it says, oh, well, this is sponsored. You know, it notes that it's like a sponsored thing. But let's be real. How many people actually pay attention to that? I think. And also, aren't these the people who scream about misinformation and disinformation? Some of them, for instance, they'll rewrite, oh, Kamala Harris, it will lower health costs. Kamala Harris does it. It doesn't violate Google's policies, but it's designed to purposely read like, to look like, to mimic entirely an actual news search. And apparently Trump isn't running these ads. He's not running ads like this. And Google says that it's common and that it's been used before, but I haven't really seen it. I mean, I've seen these things pop up. I haven't really seen it except with her stuff, with the stuff that she's done. And so they said that their campaign has complied with all of Google's rules, etc. And although it kind of looks like they lack some of the disclosure, you know, I don't know. The whole thing is it's designed to make it look like these are all publications in her favor. And the headlines have a paid for by Harris for President banner. All of them have that. So I don't know. It's not, I mean, is it shady? Hells yeah. And is it designed to suggest that all of these publications are in her favor? Yes. I just don't know why the media people are upset about it. I mean, this is, you know, it's like what they do anyway, right? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make any, right? Why is the press upset about this? There's literally nothing in, there's nothing in here that they don't already do. But it suggests the publishers are on her side. And meanwhile, it was weird because when Axios ran this, the lady, Sarah Fisher was the reporter that ran it. When it started getting some heat, she then turned around. She turned around and started kind of walking back her own story. And she's like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not really a big deal that this is being done. You know, no big whoop, et cetera, et cetera. Not a huge issue. And she like tried to diminish her own piece. This is weird. Now, this comes along right as all these influencers have been coming out saying that Harris has been paying for support and trying to get people to for them to pay so that they can go out and promote them. I don't know. The whole thing is manufactured. Their campaign is manufactured. Their candidate is manufactured. Any kind of support that she would be receiving is manufactured. Like all of it. It's just also, we see this, right? I mean, we see it happening. I just don't think that the ad thing is that. Do you think that's a huge deal, Kane? I don't think it's a major issue.
That they disclose whether or not it's an ad, or that they buy.
I mean,
the
it's
ads.
Disclosed that it's an ad.
Yeah, there are some screenshots though that are showing it without the sponsorship.
Oh, are there? I haven't seen any because I think
that
they have to put it up there.
Google was claiming some sort of glitch as to that why that was happening, but. I mean, they're spending money on ads, and if the way the ads are blitzed are like that, I guess, I mean, whatever. It's a third-party company. They have ad space to sell, and the campaign wants to buy.
I just don't know how you can Google it and you think that it's not an ad. I mean, it's very, very
yeah, it
clearly
looks very
not.
Obvious.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It I just, you can just
obvious.
Go and you can do searches, and you can go to news. You can go to news, and you can look stuff up. It says things will say sponsored. They will say sponsored on it. That's why I don't understand why anybody would have any kind of, I mean, it's very clearly, I mean, hell, it's a sponsored. Yeah. I haven't seen it where it hasn't said that.
Yeah. And even on Twitter, you see, or X, you'll see ad at the top right of a post. If you think it's like a native post or something, you can just look in the upper right and see.
Do I think that Google manipulates search results? Hell yes, I do. I mean, that's not, I, I've, I have been one of the earliest and loudest people talking about this. But do I trust? I don't. I get weirded out when I feel like I see some people on the right using it as well. We need to come in and tell Google what they. Oh boy, here we go. We're going to come back to this. But I mean, I don't. Is this any different from regular media? Speaking of which, by the way, did you guys see this Wall Street Journal piece? I have something coming up about it. This Wall Street Journal, it says Tim Walz isn't very rich. Americans disagree on whether that's a good thing. The candidate's finances spur debate on what we value in leaders and how we measure success. So he doesn't own any property. He has like, I mean, I don't think he's got any investments, right? He has no investments. He doesn't have anything like that. He's what? He's got nothing. He really doesn't have anything, does he? No stocks, bonds, nothing. I mean, this all came out like in disclosures. Do you trust a guy that, I just think when you get into your 60s, you should have something to show for it, right? And apparently he doesn't have a lot in savings either, which is wild to me. According to his disclosures, that's kind of wild to me. Like, how do you not have a lot in your, how do you not have a lot in your savings at least? I mean, I get it that your party ruined the economy, but still, how do you not have a lot? It's just weird. And the media thinks that him owning no property and having zero investments is good. I mean, I don't know. I can't think of a better person to put in charge everything I've worked in life to save than Governor Dumfud from, you know, the lollipop land of snitch hotlines and BLM fires. Right? I mean, who better than a guy who doesn't even own his own home or have any investments, doesn't even really have any savings, but loves to use the word damn. Like, i.e., he's damn proud of his service, or he damn well lied about it, or we damn well can't afford groceries, you know, things like that. I mean, I just think it's weird when you're making it into your 60s without having anything to show for it. It's a surefire way to persuade the nation, Kane, to help let you make significant policy decisions that is going to affect their net worth, right?
And let us not forget, as governor, he burned through $18 billion of a surplus the state had.
Oh, let's not stop there. He doubled the cost of the renovation for the governor's mansion.
Oh, good Lord.
To like $9 million.
So, yeah.
Not even making this up.
I think it's starting to make sense why he doesn't
have having him in charge of the economy is like getting, okay, everybody's got that one friend. You know that when you were growing up, you had that one friend, like most everybody out there would try to take care of their vehicles, right? You make sure it's clean and it runs right. You know, you do your maintenance. But y'all had, everybody had that one friend whose car had dents everywhere, whose wheel wells were all scratched up, the hubcaps were all scratched because they would run over curbs. And then it's like them asking to borrow your car. And you don't want them borrowing your car because you don't know what's going to happen. That's the exact same feeling I get when I look at this guy campaigning. I don't know. Like, maybe they should train him with Monopoly money first, because those pink fives were pretty dope. I got to say, you know, everybody wanted them fives. I didn't. I wanted the 100s. We got a lot more to get into. We got headlines on the way. We're also going to get, oh my gosh, we've got trans garbage. Wait until you hear. I got a whole bunch of stuff with that. We got immigration. I got some polling for you, too, that we got to jump into. So as we roll towards headlines, already we're coming towards the bottom of our first hour. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the P15. If you don't have the P15, you just need to get it. Find a way to get it. Legally, obviously. Kel-Tec's P15 is awesome. It's this thinnest, slimmest, lightest 9mm that you can get. This is from the inventors of the compact carry. I mean, Kel-Tec has been incredibly innovative with everything that they do. They made the micro compact pistol category, for crying out loud. And it comes with there's two different versions. There's the polymer version and the metal version. I like both of them, but the metal version has that walnut wood panel on it, and it just looks true. It's just classy. Textured grip. Comes with two magazines. You got a standard 15 round with minimal pinky extension, but then if you want it like super concealable, super duper concealable, you got a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. It's literally like 1.27 inches wide. This is the lightest, thinnest thing ever. It's like tinier than my 43X, but you don't lose stopping power. Quality made right here in the U.S. of A. You got to have the P15. Innovation Performance Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is terrifying. Also why I don't camp, a.k.a. pretend to be homeless. Horror at Yellowstone as a black bear mauled a three-year-old girl sleeping in a tent. Wildlife officials in Montana had to euthanize the bear that they believe attacked and injured a three-year-old. It was 10 p.m. on Sunday evening. She was attacked, taken to a hospital in Billings. Her condition is unknown. So is her identity. It was a tent at Perry's RV Campground just north of Yellowstone National Park. They go, it's unclear if there were any adults with her at the time. I want to say that I'm pretty sure nobody left a three-year-old sleeping in a tent at Yellowstone. But at the same time, you know, I watched them two babies in diapers on the Texas highway yesterday after getting ejected in a Jeep crash. So I don't know anymore. The campground was evacuated. They put traps out. They said that there were attractants in the area, which included food and unsecured garbage. And people are like, stop leaving your stupid food out to where the bears can smell it. And then they come and inspect. And then you freak out and are like, why did this happen? Thankfully, the little girl's okay. But they said that there was another 35-year-old that had a month earlier, or May of this year, had similar injuries. But that was a mother bear protecting her cub. Let's see. Texas has sued General Motors for allegedly violating drivers' privacy. Allegedly. That's doing a lot of heavy lifting there. Being sued by the state of Texas because the automaker installed tech on more than 14 million vehicles to collect data about drivers. And then it sold it to insurance companies and other companies without the driver's consent. See, this is another reason why I don't drive a government motors vehicle. And also, all mine would get is like singing along to like, you know, rock music. And then like every now and then I make sure for all devices listening to me to cuss out the CIA. And then a man fought off a cookie stealing bear with, I'm going to save this one because there's video. We have a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere because we got polling and trans stupidity as we move our partners who help bring you free radio, the folks over at ReadyWise. Imagine, you know, thankfully, you know, nothing's gone sideways, but if something would happen to go sideways, you will be one of the people that doesn't have to worry about what you're going to feed yourself or your family, because with ReadyWise, you're going to be prepared for any unexpected event. And ReadyWise, they have free and fast shipping on most orders, ensuring that your provisions reach you promptly. It's premium survival food, and you can mark the chain of command from start to finish, so you know that they are high quality U.S. ingredients, and it's packed in a state-of-the-art U.S.-based plant. And they have two offers for you right now. 72-hour food kit, buy one, get $100 value for $50. And each of those kits have all threes, three hots and snacks and drinks and all kinds of stuff, over 11,000 total calories in each kit. And their food is made, again, high quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. They have that, and you can also get 20% off any regularly priced item by using code DANA20 at checkout. So visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code DANA20 at checkout. Get 20% off any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20 for 20% off.
You have more wealth than your neighbor, and they don't have a clue. Don't get into this vicious cycle of trying to compete with people on social media or people you live near with material items. If you're putting money away, you can take advantage of those opportunities throughout your life.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Gazelka wants you to take the hotline down for people to report violations of the stay-home order. Do we need a hotline? Is it being used?
It is being used, and we simply want people to be able to call and let folks know, and it's for their own good. We have numbers. If somebody sees a fire at a neighbor's house, they want to tell them. If we see people that may not be as informed on this, it's an educational piece, so we're certainly going to do that, and we're not going to take down a telephone number that allows people just to try and keep their neighbors safe.
Wow. Oh, because they're keeping their neighbors safe. See, you know, and this had to do with the, you know, the COVID snitch line. That was an interview that he did. It's all about just keeping the neighbors safe. You guys get back in their house for your own good. Get it. Are they going to come out with paintball guns? Actually, That had to do with that video that came out. That had to do with like the George Floyd riots. First off, welcome back to the program. It's bottom of this first hour. So that doesn't sound like mind your own damn business, does it? It's for your own good, right? It's for your own good. That's what it's for. It's for your own good. The snitch line. And this was when, if you were in Minnesota and you wanted to like walk out of your house for any reason, like this was even, wasn't this even applicable? Like if somebody was walking on the front porch and, oh my gosh, do they have a face panty on? Do they have, what are they? Are they on their porch or are they like going into the yard? Like what is it for? It's for your own good. Mind your damn business. Not for your own good. It's for our own good too. See how that works? This is so, it's just so dumb. He can't have this both ways. That was an interview that he gave back at the time when he was being asked about the snitch line. Audio soundbite one, he's like, yeah, well, we respect our neighbors. Do you though? Listen.
In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and we respect their personal choices. Now look, it's not difficult. I might not agree with my neighbor's choices or make the same one. But this country's great because we have a golden rule that makes things work. We mind our own damn business on those things.
Oh my gosh. Mind he our just own doesn't damn stop saying it. No, you don't. You have a snitch hotline. Again, he really likes saying this. He's problematic. I don't know how problematic this is going to be for the campaign. I'm just shocked. And I get it that this is part of the honeymoon and it's the relief that Biden's not on the ticket anymore. But at some point, that's got to wane. Can we have a conversation about some of the polling here? So RCP, they have averages out. There's a couple of other things out that's measuring some of the polling. A new Cook political battleground poll. This is a compendium was released. Also over at RCP. So Arizona's a swing state right now. It's a battleground state. Arizona, Harris is plus two. And Georgia, as I've said, Georgia's a tie. And RCP is noting that Georgia is a tie. So is the Cook political report. They're noting that Georgia is a tie. Michigan, Harris is plus three. Nevada, Trump is plus three. North Carolina and Pennsylvania both have Harris plus one. Wisconsin has Harris plus three. Some of the RCP looking at this, their compendium, they have some of the latest out. Cook Political, all their stuff is in, though. The last that they had, there was a Florida Atlantic University poll, and it was Trump 50, Harris 57. That's not that's not including any kind of margin of error. So when you also look at the surveys on the direction of the country, and when you have people like, for instance, this was a YouGov poll, Economist YouGov poll, wrong track. People who think that the country is on the wrong track. It was plus 34. So it was 29 in the right direction, 63 in the wrong direction. When you measure this again, this is Rasmussen, right direction, 34, wrong track, 61 with plus 27 going to the wrong track. You have there was one more. Where was this one at? As Economist, direction of the country. I thought there was another one. Maybe it was a Quinnipiac. When you have survey after survey that are measuring contentment with the state of the nation and the country's policies, and the majority of people think that it's on the wrong track, and then you go and you look and you see how close these candidates are, we got to figure out why that is. And it's really hard to have a conversation about it in today's climate, because on the right, you're not supposed to say anything like that. Any kind of admission of any misstep or anything is some sort of, it's like they think it's like a sign of surrender, or that it is that it's a personal attack on a candidate when you're literally trying to correct a mistake. I cannot wrap my mind around some of the approaches on this. I cannot wrap my mind around some of the perspective as it pertains to wanting to find out why it's making these polls close and what can be done to correct that. And that's what if you want to win, that's what you do. I think there are people on the right that are psyops that don't want to win. And I think that they do everything that they can to drive division and grift. And all they want to do is just like promote tribalist division. That's it. And then they contribute to this stuff because how is it that you have so many people that think that the country's on the wrong track, but yet they can't make up their mind really between Harris and Trump? Seriously? Now, some of this needs to come to, there's two things that can be done immediately. And the first thing is that The Republican Party needs to be really, really pushing hard to define Harris as Harris is running against Harris. The Democrats want to make it seem as though she is entirely separate from what has happened these past 4 years. Even though she's vice president of the United States, even though she was the president of the Senate and cast the tie-breaking vote on the Inflation Reduction Act that actually created greater oversight over servers' tips, all of that stuff. They're trying everything that they can to create that division so that they can separate her and make her look like this outsider. They need to match Trump's outsider for outsider. And so that's what they're trying to do. And the media is going to help them do this. I mean, again, don't forget the media hated her until literally 24 days ago. That was it. They hated her until 24 days ago. And now they're lovey-dovey. So that's something that the campaign has got to really push on. And doing, I think, you're gonna have to talk to people about policy, because if you think that you're gonna roll around in the mud with the left, that hasn't worked for three elections. And I say this as someone who generally likes rolling around in the mud with the left. It doesn't win elections. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you as someone who has actually not just sat on my ass on social media. I've been on the ground, like literally in battleground states, talking to voters and trying to get people registered to vote and trying to turn out the vote. And I've heard from people, I'm telling you, I know what works. Rolling around in the mud with the left didn't want to do it. That's not going to do it. You've got to talk about policy. So like when, this is what Trump should be doing. When Walz gets out there, or Vance, if it's going to be a VP off, or if Trump wants to hit Walz, and actually I think it would be better for Trump to do it. When Walz goes out there and says, oh, you know, mind your own damn business, Trump could go out and say, you know what, the people have tried, but under your party's policies, they can't afford their damn groceries. And just steal it from him. Just steal it from him. He should go out and say that every damn time. Say it to the point where Walz has to stop saying it. Not because what Walz is saying is powerful, but because you can take it and use it and turn it into something more powerful and advantageous for what you're doing. And it also highlights that where you guys pretended to care, but you guys have been in power this entire time. I mean, that's what they could focus on. Bring it all back. And you're also taking something, because he's trying to make it, again, they want this to be an election on feelings and joy and, you know, sexual orientation and all this stuff. That also takes it and refocuses it back to the economy. Look, you got gay people voting for Republicans because they don't like being broke either. You got to have a coalition. That's what a big tent is. And a big tent means you got to have everybody that wants to vote against that. This is what it takes. So that's what Trump needs to go out and say. He needs to do that. I think J.D. Vance has been doing a really, really good job. J.D. Vance is the, as I said this the other day, he is the disciplined version of Trump. Trump needs to be disciplined right now. We do not need rallies where he goes on for 2 hours. Stop it. Because even the most hardcore Trump fans are like, okay, that's great, we're here. Stop. Rallies aren't real life any more than social media is real life. Again, telling you this as someone who's actually not just sat on my ass on social media. I've been in, like, with my feet on the soil of battleground states. I'm telling you what works and what doesn't. As I have been, I've organized rallies, I have spoken at rallies, I have been to events, and I'm telling you that you can't just hold a rally and think that that equals turnout. It doesn't. It doesn't. You have to, it has to go through a process of becoming actionable. And that's one thing that Republicans are not good at doing. So it's pointless to have a rally if you cannot get those people to go out and vote also. I remember I was reading something that Scott Pressler had tweeted. He was at some rally and it was like 20% of the people that he spoke to were not registered to vote. There was not any apparatus there except for him to get people registered to vote. I think it was in Pennsylvania, wasn't it? Wasn't it like a battleground state? So. My jaw hit the floor. Not because that there were 20%, almost 20% people there who weren't registered to vote. He was literally the only person there doing it. It's a damn RNC event. What in the world? So that's my point here. You've got to make sure that you have to be disciplined, and you got to make sure that you get this, that you get these people motivated to turn out. Now, Trump is, see, this is where it gets weird. So the Cook Political has, and RCP have Trump and Harris tied in Arizona. The Trafalgar Group, which I can give or take sometimes on the polling. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're off. They have on theirs, they've got Trump slightly ahead in this poll that I just lost. Where is it at? Okay. So it's 47-46. They're tied. It's 47.7 and 46.5. And their headline was, well, he's slightly ahead. I feel like this is misleading because within the margin of error, they're dead tied. So I understand that they're trying to give voters hope, but here's the problem. And this is how I swear to you, this is how Republican voters think. They're like, oh, if Trump's a little bit ahead in Arizona, then we can stop focusing. We don't need to focus on Arizona so much and we can look elsewhere. Oh, my gosh, no. You got to be honest with people at this stage in the game. We're too close in. You've got to be honest. And I know some people say that the election, you know, doesn't really, the season doesn't really totally heat up until September. That's not true, especially now with this changeup, because you're having to reset and it changes the dynamics of it all. But you've got to be honest with people about where the candidates are. You can't be like, oh, well, he's ahead here. He's dead tied within margin of error. And he's barely a point ahead. Arizona is an important state and Democrats have been making a lot of overtures to that state. And them getting Kyrsten Sinema out was a huge victory for them. Kyrsten Sinema, she was a Democrat who became an independent. She was actually an asset for the GOP. She was a classical liberal. So the left hated her. Democrats hated her. But she was an asset to the GOP. They don't like anything like that. They don't have any mavericks on their side. They just like to exploit the ones that exist on the Republican side. Any dissent on the any healthy debate that a normal party would have, Democrats like to highlight it as, oh, here's the schism in the Republican Party. No, that's the sign of a healthy party, you absolute codependents. On the left, they can't do it at all. They cannot have a healthy debate at all. You are a betrayal. You're a betrayer. You're something. That's why they ran out all the pro-life Democrats. So I want to make you aware. I didn't mean to spend this long on this because I wanted to get in. We're going to get into some of the trans stupidity. But like, for instance, here's another thing. I had this. If you are a newsletter subscriber, you got this story this morning. In New York City, the illegal immigration crisis is so expensive. It's going to cost the state spending $5 billion on shelter, security, and food. And they're anticipating that amount will double next year. $5 billion taxpayer dollars. Strictly for illegal immigrants coming in that are being housed in New York City. $5 billion currently on shelter, security, and food. People can't afford their own damn groceries, but you got the state paying $5 billion to house mostly young men, to house and to feed predominantly young men who have entered illegally. That's like having a nation that sends in, you know, it's surreptitiously sends in its fighting force and makes their opponent care for them. Go burn through their resources caring for them. I'm just saying, it's very interesting speculation. We've got more on the way, but I wanted to make you aware of all that stuff. We've got trans stupidity coming up because now it's in the Paralympics. Oh, wait. Yeah, we got that as well. We also have Florida Man on the way. Days of these United States on the way. So we got a lot of stuff that we got to hit. As we move towards the conclusion of this first hour, our partners that help bring you free radio. Burna Gun's a new sponsor of the show. I would love to be able to take my 9mm everywhere I go. And in fact, I do. But there are some times when I'm not able to because of a law or because it's this private property. We don't want this. And I don't have the luxury all the time of being like, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. I don't have that luxury all the time to be able to say that. So this is where the Burna gun comes in, because I think you always need to have options for self-defense, and there's nothing wrong with having as many options as possible. And this is what Burna offers. It's a non-firearm firearm. Let me just put it like that. When you compare it to like stun guns are restricted to a couple of shots. The Burna SD, the most popular model, shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. And you got different models, different colors, different accessories with it all as well. But it is all about giving you another option for self-defense, particularly at a time when some areas your options may be, maybe limited without your input. And so Burna is a great option for that. You can visit Burna.com. It's BYRNA. Burna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase and just learn more about it. Again, there's no waiting period. There are no background checks. It's legal in all 50 states. They don't give a rat's backside about the gun-free zone signs. It's just another option for your personal defense. Check out these options at Burna.com/Dana, BYRNA, Burna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs. Whenever you want, subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Real average weekly earnings for the month of July actually down 0.2%. Energy prices unchanged. Food prices jumping 0.2%. And then if you get into a couple of other things here, housing still a little sticky there, up 0.4%. And I'm giving you month over month numbers just to be clear here.
I have to contrast this with an actual Time magazine headline from today. You ready for this headline, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, inflation is going down, but here's why the prices aren't. Big grocery, yo.
Inflation is not going down.
Oh, no. Time magazine says, guys, it's cooling. It's, well, first they go, it's going down. Hold up. They say it's going down. Nope. Then it says it's cooling.
Nope.
It's showing signs of cooling.
Nope.
Looking to cool. It's like a gradient of BS in their article. Literally, this just came out this morning.
None of that is true. The rate of inflation, although the rate of inflation last month might have been 0.3%, which means we're rising at 0.3%. Now the inflation is 0.2%, which means we're still rising. We're just rising at 0.2%.
But, you know, the reason why we haven't seen the prices is because, you know, the war in Ukraine. I'm not kidding you. This is what Time magazine's saying. It's because of Putin. Because that war in Ukraine, you know, and also the supply chain is still disrupted from, you know, the pandemic and stuff.
It's not government spending, though, guys.
No, it's heaven forbid. They need to pull whatever yarn out of their backside to make it to where they don't have to say government spending. Heaven forbid, no, not that. It's Ukraine. Yeah, that's it. It's El Nino. Yeah. All these things. Stay with us. We have a whole other hour on the way. So we're going to talk about the trans stuff is now in the Paralympics, and that one litigious trans dude from the Olympics is now suing everybody. We're going to talk about that coming up. Stick with us. Our partners, Patriot Mobile, they want to make sure that you have affordable cell phone service as we are in a tough time economically. And so they have plans that are tailor-made for you, your business, no matter the size, your family, no matter the size, if you're single, if you're not, doesn't matter. They got something for you. And they also offer reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So no matter what happens, you're getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the far left. And you're also supporting U.S.-based jobs. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It makes it so easy to switch. You can keep your phone, you can keep your number, you can upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. And you're not funding the things that you vote against at the ballot box. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by people pretending to share your values and having the same cell coverage. Switch to patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
هذا الشيء اللي يبين كيفية التطور خلي في إيمان أما عن أهليتي.
So this is
أظن أني سرحت في وسائل إعلام من قبل أهليتي.
And he's suing the internet. He's super ticked, and he's suing the internet because he's mad. He's suing specifically Elon Musk. He's suing him and JK. I'm never going to stop that. And also JK Rowling and X and all this other. He's suing all these people because I guess his feelings got hurt over people, you know, questioning the fact that he's an actual dude with XY chromosomes, and that causes your body to do different things because of those chromosomes, by the way. And so this, his name is Imane Khalif, and he's named, goodness, Musk, Rowling, all kinds of stuff, this Algerian boxer, in a lawsuit. And it was filed to French authorities over alleged acts of aggravated cyber harassment. That takes some balls, I'm telling you. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this first hour. Or second hour. Top of this second hour. The dude, he says he's it's part of his fight for justice, dignity, and honor. And it was filed against unknown persons per French law. I'm reading the criminal complaint posted to the Anti-Online Hatred Center of the Public Prosecutor's Office last week. And they said that the prosecution has the latitude to be able to investigate against all people, including those who shared hateful messages. And then they said that apparently Trump would also be part of this investigation. Repercussions, I'm reading the French law, for cyberbullying offenses. So you could go to jail for like 2 to 5 years. Fines anywhere from 26 to 39,000 pounds. And it, but if it's prosecuted as, so you have cyberbullying and then you have hate speech. So if it's elevated and you can prosecute it as online hate speech, then they could, you could fine people 64 to 214,000 pounds. It's a dude. I mean, he's a dude. And they were looking, this guy took home the gold medal in the women's boxing, He's 25 years old. He's like, he has XY chromosomes. Here's the difference. The boxing league that he was disqualified from competing in previously because of his XY chromosomes, the Olympics allowed for him to compete based on just what is on his passport. So the Olympics does not look at anything other than what you write, what you claim on a document. Whereas the other leagues actually do the testing. So that's like one of the big things. And the IOC is like, no, this is what's on their passport. Not kidding you. So he's suing. And he also, one of the things was cited. So you know how there's the account that has Trump that posts on Truth Social, and then he can, and then people will take that and repost it on Twitter. He had said at one point, I will keep men out of women's sports. And that was put, I guess that was like cited as one of the, why they may go after it. That's nuts, no pun intended. But they've been, that's not going to work over here. One of the things with the U.S. law in layman's terms is if it's legal here, foreign law is not going to supersede our own national law. So if it's free speech here, there's no way, there's not going to be any kind of cooperation with anything like that. That's actual law. But what gets me, and this guy, again, XY chromosomes, which allow the body to do certain, it triggers the body to produce certain things, to do certain things, to be different, genetically different, etc. So, dude, you can sit here, I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to argue with people about it. And that's what counts. The muscle mass, the bone density, the full force of that as dictated by the XY chromosomes. That's the blueprint. And so this craziness, by the way, has extended, let me pull this up, to the Paralympics. Headline, a blind runner who won 11 national titles as a man is going to compete as a woman in the Paralympics. Okay, so again, it is a man who is 50 years old. He calls himself Valentina Petrillo. He's an Italian sprinter. He will, later this month, be the first openly trans athlete to compete in the Paralympics. Again, 50 years old. And he just now recently started identifying as a woman. He won 11 titles in 2019 as a man. He took bronze in the women's 200 and 400 meters at the Para-Athletic World Championships last summer. He looks like a man. He's not blind. He's visually impaired. So it doesn't mean that he can't, you know, that he's not totally blind from what the New York Post suggests. And it's not against the rules. It is not against the rules. The International Paralympic Committee, per the Post, allows each sport's governing body to set their own rules. So each athletic discipline gets to set its own rules. And they're actually, and the people who do his discipline, he's a sprinter, they're fine with him running against other. I mean, he is huge. When he there's a photo of him with the other female sprinters, and he's huge. He went through puberty as a man. He has been competing as a man his whole life. If he were to be a woman and suddenly walk onto the track with the level of testosterone and everything else that he has, then he would be accused of doping and he would be disqualified. It's gotten so far out of control. This is unbelievable. And then, wait, there's more. So there's a transgender golfer who got mad and decided to insult his biological female rivals who complained about him competing with women. The guy's name is Haley Davidson. He's a transgender golfer who, per Daily Mail, hit out at female athletes who complained about his success. He was banned from competing in the NXXT golf tournaments earlier this year. And he said on Instagram, quote, "I will never understand athletes who blame a transgender competitor on their own athletic failures. If you don't take accountability for your failures, then you will never actually be good enough to make it." Davidson was born in Scotland. He's been trying to qualify for the LPGA. They have an inclusion policy. So if you undergo a surgery after male puberty, then you're in. But you can go through puberty and get the advantages of all that. The LPGA Tour removed its requirement for golfers to be female at birth. This is out of control. Absolutely out of control. These men are treating the women's sports as JV leagues. I mean, this is just wild. I mean, and of course, you know, he's wiping the floor with all of, you know, he's a man. So he's winning all these titles. Of course he is. And then if you disagree with any of this, then you're a cyberbully. Do you see how they're trying to leverage the legal system to silence women? I don't ever want to hear any of these people complain against Sharia, ever. I don't ever want to hear, feminism is dead. Long live the new feminism. That's what this is. The new feminism isn't feminine anymore. And they've helped kill it. They've absolutely helped kill it. And this is crazy. And we, like with the cyberbullying lawsuit from this male boxer, I mean, we say things like, oh, well, you know, that couldn't happen here. Yeah, it could. I mean, people have already been fined. I mean, in some states, they're trying to make it a misdemeanor if you choose to not forfeit your free speech and you don't use whatever pronouns. I mean, this is where we're at. It's just unbelievable. And even in the Paralympics. I mean, I think that it's a mental illness, but I don't think it should be. I think it should not be not treated that way in the Paralympics. Good heavens. I have a couple of other things, too, I want to hit here as we roll towards. We got, let me pull this up. So, we got audio of this. Biden spoke. This is audio soundbite. Oh, boy. Okay. He starts randomly screaming last night. Let's just play it. Audio soundbite 2. I can't really set it up because I don't know what he was. I really don't understand where he's going with this. He starts talking about Xi Jinping and then Tibet, and then he just is screaming. Go ahead. Let's roll the tape.
I spent a lot of time with Xi Jinping, and they tape everything we say. I spent over 80 hours with him alone over 17,000 miles in China. And then we're in Tibet, near Tibet. And he asked me, can I define America for him? And this is a true story. I said, yes, in one word, possibilities.
Freedom.
We believe anything is possible in America. Anything we set our mind to is possible. We are the land of possibilities.
Land of freedom, you halfwit. And he starts screaming. Do you know why I dislike how he says possibilities? Because that's still loaded. It is. When he says possibilities, it's laced with intimation that it has to be provided to you, the possibility, by the state. because that's what they've been promoting with equity, right? You have to facilitate, you have to pay for, you have to micromanage the possibility. And if it doesn't grow into achievement, then you are owed it and you were robbed somehow, regardless of your own free will and choices. I can't believe you just didn't say freedom, right? Not possibility, freedom. He says he was, he confirmed that there was a coup against him, and he said he feels pushed out and betrayed. Now, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but now there's this new report. It's over at Politico. And they're saying, yeah, the coup took place in this piece. Biden harbors lingering frustration at Pelosi, Obama, and Schumer. So there's a lot of tension here. Politico notes this. They said Biden is frustrated that Obama wouldn't tell him to his face that he should leave the race. He's angry with Nancy Pelosi, views her as ruthless for ushering him out the door, and he's miffed at the role that Schumer played also. What did you think you were getting into? We have more on this. A quick note, too. Somebody emailed and they said, you should be staring at the camera more, or looking at the camera more. I want to remind everyone, this is a radio program and I don't have a teleprompter. So any of the information that I'm giving to you, nothing is scripted on the show. You can't see it, but I have a 4.5-foot screen that runs the entirety of this. And Juan's showing you, this is what I am looking at. So this isn't like Fox or CNN or MSNBC or whatever, where I'm looking and I got a teleprompter with all my information neatly for me to read on my screen in front of me. It is a blank black screen and it's totally off the cuff. So all my information is down here. So I look up when I can, but I'm not going to sit here and gaze into everyone's eyes on the camera. Not because I don't love you, but because you want it. You're watching for information and all my information is here because it's a radio program that is simulcast. So I want to remind people of this because I think from time to time, I think they forget that I have this giant monitor down here for a reason. So it's because I have everything. You would fall over if you saw everything that I had on the screen. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 tabs in one window just alone, 2 on another, all of my bookmarks, everything that I can quickly access because we're hanging out and we're talking, right, is all right here in front of me. So that is why you just can't see it when you're looking straight on like this. So we've got more to come as we roll towards the bottom of this hour. And of course, brought to you by our very good friends over at Black Rifle Coffee, which I'm having right now. I actually don't know what this one is. I asked Chris for some black coffee and he brought this one in and it's so good. And I had to wait a hot second because it almost burnt my head off. It was awful. The heat, the temperature. Now it's cooled down enough where I can drink it and only get like, you know, minorly scorched. But it's so good. I love Black Rifle Coffee. I will not drink anything else. Like when I travel, I try to actually take some with me. When we went on vacation, I literally took some with me. And because I can't stand everybody else's coffee is just garbage. When you drink the best coffee out there, you cannot drink anything else. And Black Rifle Coffee has the best beans, the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms worldwide, explosive roast profiles. Now, you might think all this fancy sounding stuff might make it super expensive. It's not. It's veteran-owned, veteran-run. These are average, everyday people. They've dedicated their mission to their mission of making great coffee, but they also support veteran and first responder causes. And this is evident, everything in the way that they approach their business to their bag art, it all pays homage to it. Now, you can join the coffee club, which is what I've done, because I hate running out of coffee and I go through a lot of it. You join the coffee club, you choose what roast you want, your frequency of shipment, and it's sent to your doorstep with free shipping. You're never going to run out of premium coffee. You love America, and that's who they want to help. Make sure that they have, make sure you have the best coffee out there. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Join the coffee club. When you go to the website, make a purchase, you're going to save 20% with code Dana. They also have ground whole bean K cups, ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Order today. Get 20% off using code Dana. Only at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, per The Hill, a Wyoming reporter was caught using artificial intelligence to create fake quotes and stories. What's new? They made up quotes from the governor and a local prosecutor. It was, wow. The dead giveaway, though, was a reporter from a competing news outlet. He came across all of this AI stuff in this newspaper, And it's the Coty Enterprise. This is crazy. Yeah, they just, you know, we're making up all kinds of stuff. Also, leave Bucky's alone. The Bucky's beaver mascot rope is responsible for a man's fall, according to a lawsuit. This in Florence, South Carolina, he tripped over a rope holding down the large inflatable beaver mascot and is suing the company for injuries he sustained. You know, you could also look where you're walking, too. That's very important. And, oh, gosh, I have more. AI model 98% accurate in detecting diseases just by looking at your tongue. This is some of the stuff that we're getting from AI. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
You know, Michael, I'm sure this is not going to be the first time you've heard this question, but the Trump campaign is also going after the vice president for not doing enough interviews, for not holding a press conference. Would it kill you guys to have a press conference? Why hasn't she had a press conference?
Listen, the vice president and Governor Walz have been busy crisscrossing this country since the launch of this campaign and adding Governor Walz to the ticket. You saw the ways in which they went to across the battleground states last week, generating rallies of thousands, 10,000 here, 15,000 there. But
Michael, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference.
It's going to be inclusive.
Do you mind if I cut in? I mean, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference.
So
why isn't she at a press
He was asked about. This is Harris campaign spokesperson Michael Tyler. He was asked about if she stole, and this is what we wanted to hear, the no tax on tips proposal. Can we play this? Can we play that audio where he talked about that? I think it was seven. Maybe we didn't hear seven.
Michael, let me press you on one thing, though. The Harris campaign is embracing a Trump proposal. Kamala Harris is saying she will fight to end taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers. Trump says that she stole his idea. What do you say to that?
Yeah, listen, again, I would say that there's only one candidate in this race that actually has a track record of standing up and working for working people, and that's Kamala Harris. So, yeah, she supports no taxes on tipped wages for actual service workers. But she also understands what Donald Trump doesn't understand, that that's not enough. That's why we have to increase the federal minimum wage. That's what we
support. Okay, so that's not going to have anything to do with that because that's the servers and what they get. They make their money on tips. And I say this as somebody who worked in the service industry for years in high school and college. That's not how that works. And furthermore, she, as the president of the Senate, presided over the Senate when they were going through passing the Inflation Reduction Act, and she was the deciding vote. She cast the deciding vote that allowed that to pass. Now, why is that important? Because in the Inflation Reduction Act, it actually targeted tips. They want greater reporting. The IRS actually was viewing that as a huge sector of underreported income. And this is one of the things that they targeted. And that was one of the things that was mentioned in the legislation. And she was the determining vote on that. And that's the thing. It's they were going to crack down on all of this, the underreported tips that they were calling it. This comes back from February of last year because under the Inflation Reduction Act, which was signed into law in August of 23. And again, Kamala Harris, as president of the Senate, was the determining vote on this. They said, remember, what were you told? You were told that the White House and the Treasury needed all of that money. They needed the $80 billion to hire 88,000 new agents. They told us, the White House and Treasury, that it was necessary because the IRS was going to go after tax evaders and, you know, rich companies and all of this. But here's the thing. Let me pull this up. So this is from February of 20. So this is over at the IRS. This is literally the IRS's website. Gosh, Kane, I hate that this is on my thing. This is the IRS website, February 6, 2023. It is under their news releases, and the title of this press release that they made available is this, quote, IRS introduces new service industry tip reporting program. So it was a proposed revenue procedure, this is from their press release, that would establish the Service Industry Tip Compliance Agreement Program, a voluntary tip reporting program, voluntary, but it's not, between the IRS and employers in various service industries. Now they want this program, they want people, it's all about the POS systems, which means point of sale. So they want to take advantage of advancements in all of these systems so that they can, quote, improve tip reporting compliance. They wanted to monitor all of it. They wanted to see actual, I'm reading from the thing, actual annual tip revenue, charge tip data from the POS systems, and allowance for adjustments. So I bring this up because that's what they, that was in February 6th of last year, okay? So that they were already going to be targeting tips. And tipped employees, they are required by law to pay both federal income taxes and they pay payroll taxes on the tips they receive. So that's the other thing. When you say no tax on tips, you're still paying federal income taxes. Why not go beyond the payroll tax on the tips you get? That's my beef with the whole tax on tips thing, because I think it's shallow. I do. And I don't care who says it. You need to go be my best friend and make tax cuts permanent and go beyond just the payroll tax on tips you receive, because you still have to pay the federal income tax. So the employers pay about 15.3% of the payroll tax to the IRS on the employee's behalf. And they adjust the wage with employee wage withholding for the tips that they to account for whatever tips the server brings in. Right. And they have to participate. They participate in these tip reporting schemes with the IRS. But see, what the IRS is doing here, because you have these existing systems in place, the IRS is saying that people are skirting them and not reporting them. And so they want to, all tips, they want to establish a minimum threshold that includes anything electronic, not just cash. Plus they want a real estimate of tips that are paid in cash dollars. And they want it to be far more reaching and reach a minimum established threshold. And this, and again, it's under reported tips is what they keep saying. This is not just going after, business owners that they say that are not paying their fair share, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they're going after everybody. And here's the other thing. The people who were promoting this to us, the IRS, the tip scheme, etc., we were told over and over again, oh, it's these corporations that have just abandoned their duty. They're not paying their fair share, The rich people, they're not paying their fair share, right? You were told that small businesses, if you made under $400,000, that you were not going to be on the hook for this. Or Americans, if they were in a certain income bracket, they weren't going to be paying anything new. And that this new funding, this $80 billion, was not going to be used to pursue them, right? But that's not what we're seeing here with this new enhanced program to report, quote unquote, underreported tips, right? They said that that's, it seems like it was a bait and switch, wasn't it? Doesn't it seem like it was misleading? Because this wasn't a mistake. They see what the IRS views here is a massive weakness in their enforcement of the system or their enforcement of collecting taxes. And the IRS, their idea, because they were looking at non-corporate small businesses, they were looking at self-employed Americans. In fact, this is a piece. Let me open this up. IRS.gov, Federal Compliance Research. This is 2014-2016 per Heritage, this report. Non-corporate small businesses account for 8 times as much where it concerns underreported income taxes as corporations with at least $10 million in assets. When you look at all of the stuff that the IRS is doing, they're not just going after like the big corporations and rich people and all of that stuff. I mean, the fact that they're literally proposing changes to how you report your tips and that they want to establish a minimum threshold is evidence of that. And they're not going to be going in there and shaking down, you know, the server staff. They're going to be putting all the pressure on the employers to carry this out, to be the muscle for them is what they're going to do. That's what this is. And I mean, this is what she voted for. This is exactly what she voted for. And they think that, you know, they're going to go out and say, oh, well, no taxes. Why in the world is the RNC not pushing back on this claim? And instead of saying Trump said it first and just leaving it at that, why the hell have they not said, yeah, well, Kamala already rejected this when she was the deciding vote in this? They have not brought this up at all, because I've looked. I've tried to find some kind of audio of any of the campaign saying this. I've tried to find tweets. I've tried to find something. They have not pushed this. Instead of going, well, she just stole it from Trump. Why not say, well, what do you mean? Kamala Harris was the deciding vote for the Inflation Reduction Act, which not only doubled the size of the IRS, but added $80 billion to its budget, which then enabled the IRS to announce in February of last year a new tip reporting system that they're going to pressure employers, restaurants to follow. They want to establish a minimum threshold on the tips that you make, and they're going to come after you. Why not say that? Because that's true. There's not a single breath or syllable in that that's wrong or exaggerated. So I have no idea what they're doing with the messaging. I get that everybody's trying to make a play for the working class, but why not actually make the play for the working class and explain this is what she did? How is she coming around saying that she is for this now? Trump should go out and say, my plan actually undoes the law that she was the deciding vote to pass. That's what he should be saying. My position. She can say her position all she wants to, but my position actually undoes the law that she was the tie-breaking vote to pass. And here's how I'm going to do it. That's exactly what he should say. That would kill this. It'd be DOA. And they haven't. So it gets air. And it keeps going and going and going. I mean, it is infuriating. So I wish that they would just get with it a little bit more on that. That's what, he could just shut this down. You see it, just shut it down with a couple of things. Shut it down with a couple of things. That's it. And in the meantime, you know, I told you in New York, they're spending what? $5 billion on, where's that money coming? You got $80 billion on the IRS. They say that this amount's going to be doubled by 2025, $10 billion on illegal immigration, but people can't buy damn groceries. Inflation's out of control. And we're told that, no, it's looking like there's signs of cooling. What the hell does that even mean? I mean, it's not cooling, but what does it's looking like there are signs of? What word salad is that? We have this, we recorded the second biggest July deficit in history. Do you know how much tax revenue just goes down to pay down the interest? 25%. 25%. Because the government can't stop spending. It's not because you're not paying enough in taxes. It's because the government is spending way too much. The government was never designed to be this big. It was never supposed to be this big. And this is the problem. Not you wanting to keep more of what you earn, but the government wanting to spend it all.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is horrible. A mom in Florida accidentally hit her 12-year-old daughter at the school pickup or school drop-off, according to officials. She was picking up pens from under the car when she was hit. It was her 12-year-old daughter critically injuring her. It took place 7:45 a.m. Monday. The mom dropped her off, Sarasota Middle School, first day of school. She was getting out of her mom's car, her SUV on the passenger side. She dropped her markers and pens. And when she bent over to pick them up, her mom started driving forward. She was taken to the hospital via helicopter. Her condition wasn't immediately clear. Oh my gosh, I hope she's okay, but can I just say, I know nobody probably feels worse than the mom right now, but I've been in enough school drop-offs. Y'all moms are a menace in these lines. I'm telling you what. I'm not, and some of y'all dads are too. Come on.
Sometimes the parents feel like they have to be rushed too, and I think that might have played a part in this.
I remember one time I was in the elementary drop-off, and I was close to the sidewalk because there are two lanes going forward, and the car in front of me, I could tell they were kind of in a hurry. She was an older student. She got out of the car and ran in, and there was simultaneously, and there's someone there that holds the sign, and the other car let their child off, and that they were walking, you know, with the person behind the sign, and that mom was like, oh, I'm just going to go, and the woman, like, actually slapped the hood of her car because she was going to run over this kid. I was, like, right behind her watching this, and I'm just like, how are you not paying attention? So, oh, my gosh, come on. It's horrible. It's so sad, but I hope the little girl's going to be okay. Let's see. An 85-year-old Florida man was arrested for vandalizing his neighbor's property with a Sharpie. That's dedication. Sandoval community, Cape Coral, Florida. This is NBC2 that has the story, because the original website that had the story is trash and they bury the lead six paragraphs in. 85-year-old man, he was arrested. Criminal mischief. He drew all over their property with a permanent marker. He drew lines on the back of a truck. He drew all over the bed of their pickup truck and apparently elsewhere. And he ended up getting arrested. I want to know what he drew. I feel like that's important to the story, right? I'm just saying, I feel like I should know. We should get to know what that is. A Pinellas Park man was arrested after he initially hit a woman with a Jeep in a road rage incident. Jiminy Christmas, people. An affidavit said the victim saw the man smile before hitting her with his vehicle. His name is Boris Twillman, 57. He was tailgating Jermeria Holy Cross, traveling on U.S. 19 North, and she thought he rear-ended her, so she stopped the vehicle to get out and check, and then he stopped behind her, and then he ran into her, pinning her between his Jeep and car, dragging her along the driver's side. Oh, my gosh. And then he drove off. She got, you're gonna get the book thrown at you, and you should. That's ridiculous. This is so stupid. Let's see. We got Florida man does a burnout leaving a bar at 1 a.m., promptly crashes into a police car parked out front, and then is immediately arrested for DUI. It took place literally in minutes. Port St. Lucie Police Department, 22-year-old was leaving Buckeye Sports Pub at 1 a.m., got out of his car, performed a burnout, and while doing said burnout, literally ran into the front of an occupied police car. Yeah, that didn't go. Why would you do that? Why? Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
I don't want to, you know, belabor this, but one interview before the end of the month. I mean, that's not a lot. I mean, can you commit to a press conference before the end of the month?
We will commit to directly engage with the voters that are actually going to decide this election. And that is going to be complete with rallies, with sit down interviews, with press conferences, with all the digital assets that we have at our disposal. We are running a campaign that is built to communicate with the voters that are actually going to decide the pathway to 270 electoral votes. We are confident in the plan that we have in place, and we're going to execute on that plan.
But she's only doing like a couple of very carefully scripted events. And, you know, they vet all of the people that come through, and she doesn't have to, she's not asked any questions off the cuff. You know, she's not asked anything like that. So I don't, it's not the same thing, dude. It's not the same thing. And he knows. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. And, by the way, you can find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse, find us at Rumble, where there's always good conversation. Find us on X, Channel 347 DirecTV as well. So the Democrat Governor Murphy says, and this is audio soundbite 10, Well, her avoiding interviews isn't becoming a problem because, guys, she's bringing so much joy. Listen.
I think she's had an extraordinary several weeks. Tim Walz is an inspired pick. She's on a roll. She is, as he has said, she's brought joy back into the whole arena of politics. There'll be plenty of time to do interviews. And God knows one thing about last night without having heard it, that was no interview.
She's bringing joy. Phil Murphy there. She's bringing joy, guys. You don't need anything else. You just need joy. I mean, people can't afford groceries because they're so damn expensive. But, you know, joy. She's bringing all that joy. That's kind of insane to push. That's the thing is this is going to keep going until members of the press are disgruntled enough because they're not getting any kind of access. And they want to be able to get those clicks. It has to be really weird to be in that legacy industry because we're going through a really weird economic period and advertising's the first thing that dries up. Advertising everywhere, television, radio, everywhere. And in the media, that's their bread and butter, right? They sell ads that is on the basis of people reading their content to notice. That's kind of how it all works. And if they're not providing the content, because people want to hear from Kamala Harris. They want to hear from her. They want to hear what is her plan, for instance, when it comes to domestic energy production, or what is her plan when it comes to the processing of chips, or what is her plan when it concerns taxation or inflation or anything else? Like, I mean, what has she got? Her website doesn't have anything yet. It's just I honestly don't think they've solidified where she needs to be seen standing. I mean, we know where she stands. We know what her policies are. She's been in the Senate. She's in the administration for 4 years. It's not like it's a mystery, but they're acting like she's a brand new candidate, new her. It's all brand new. So they have to reinvent her. It's not an introduction. It's a reinvention. And they're going to try to separate her from all of the stuff with Biden, even though, you know, audio soundbite 8, Susan Rice even says that it's weird to say that Harris has not been a very important piece in crafting policy. Listen.
Of course, the vice president will outline her vision and where she sees opportunities to advance their collective agenda, the Biden-Harris collective agenda, and take it further forward. I think we all look forward to hearing that. But this notion that she somehow doesn't deserve credit for and isn't part of and wasn't an integral architect of the Biden-Harris administration agenda is not only false, it's frankly somewhat bizarre and offensive.
Ooh. Well, which is it? You can't have it both ways. You can't separate her entirely from everything that Biden has done and act like she's brand new and she's got brand new policies and then also say that no, she's got credibility because she was here and she was involved in crafting all these policies. You can't have it both ways. So which is it going to be? That's the million-dollar question. So that's where we're at with all of this. So this other aspect, you know, talking about new moves, and I saw this actually was just a little bit ago, yesterday from the New York Times. You know, the New York Times that crafted the story about Junior meeting that Natalia, whatever, Veletskaya, the whatever, the lady who should be registered with FARA, et cetera, et cetera. We were told by that same publication that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. And that if you were suggesting anything opposite of that, then you were just untoward. You were just a conspiracist hack, to the point where they were freezing people's accounts on social media. Remember that? And remember, it was so discussed. I mean, you couldn't even ask about Burisma. You couldn't, you know, for Hunter Biden, it was just assumed and sold to you that he was just this expert on energy somehow. That's what we were all told. And then you couldn't get any information because, you know, the Biden administration wasn't being forthcoming about it. But now the New York Times has this story. Hunter Biden sought State Department help for Ukrainian company. I'm sorry, what? Czech state, August 13th. Huh, that was just yesterday evening at 8 o'clock. Hunter Biden sought assistance from the U.S. government for a potentially lucrative energy project in Italy while his father was vice president, according to new records, newly released records and interviews from the New York Times. The records, which the Biden administration had withheld for years, indicate that Hunter Biden wrote at least one letter to the U.S. ambassador to Italy in 2016, seeking assistance for Burisma, where he was a board member. The embassy officials were reportedly very uneasy about it. And they didn't like the fact that the son of the sitting vice president of the United States was demanding things on behalf of a foreign company. In fact, one, according to the New York Times, Commerce Department official based in the U.S. Embassy in Rome was tasked with responding and said, quote, "I want to be careful about promising too much. This is a Ukrainian company, and purely to protect ourselves, USG should not be actively advocating with the government of Italy without the company going through the DOC Advocacy Center," meaning a Department of Commerce. It's a program that works with American companies that seek business with foreign governments. Huh. And this was all withheld. All of it was withheld. And there was a court filing last week that, I mean, we had these records. I mean, remember, a lot of these records, you know, where they were kept, right? I mean, we kind of knew this. We knew some of it. Do you know why we knew some of it? Because it was on that laptop. We knew that back in fall of 2020. I mean, it was on the laptop. We knew that he was leveraging his father's position to sell influence at Burisma. And remember that Tony Bobulinski, he went off and he was like, yeah, these are legitimate messages. Yes, this is all legit. Yes. These are all real things. But yet you were told you were a conspiracy theorist if you asked about it. Now, it's interesting that this is all becoming, why, Kane, is this becoming a news story now? Kenneth Vogel at the New York Times says this. He thought it was kind of interested. He was interested in it. He said, you know, why would these documents be released now? It's very, very interesting that this is happening now. It says they talk about the embassy. First filed under a freedom of information. The department's release of documents to the New York Times came shortly after Biden dropped out of the race as his son prepares to stand trial next month on charges of evading taxes on millions of dollars in income from Burisma and other foreign businesses. So I get the sense from this Kenneth Vogel piece that so long as Joe Biden was running for president again, that this would all be kept kind of under wraps, right? I mean, that's kind of what it seems like. I don't understand either why under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, there hasn't been a move to introduce a charge based on that against Hunter Biden. I mean, he was clearly advocating for a foreign country. He was lobbying on behalf of a foreign nation. Literally, Paul Manafort sitting in jail because of that. So why does Hunter Biden get to slide on FARA violations? I mean, this is literally this sort of trading for influence. There's a reason why the Foreign Agents Registration Act was conceived and passed into law in the first place, and it was to prevent things like the son of the vice president of the United States merging out his office and selling influence. It was literally to protect against things like that. But no charge. Makes me wonder why. Like, are there other people that got kickbacks from it that would be left open and unprotected should a charge like that materialize. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? So I don't know. Now, in the piece, Vogel tries to downplay the release of this stuff at the time that Biden has dropped out. But come on, guys. The only reason that they're saying this is because Biden's dropped. And I think it's just like they're turning the knife in him a little bit more. It's what it seems like, right? I mean, I don't think that you can downplay it. And I think that they purposefully hid everything and protected Biden until he now is like dropping out of the race. That's what it seems like to me. I mean, what else could it be? Why else would they not allow this to be released?
In order for them to be effective in November, they have to switch the voters from Biden to Harris. And in order to do that, they have to sometimes almost physically pull these people away from Biden, and this is one of their methods in doing so.
Yeah. What I like about this, so Powerline, I don't know if you're familiar with Powerline. Powerline is the website that busted Dan Rather, and they were the ones, Mary Mapes, Dan Rather, back in the day, the National Guard, they were the ones who busted Dan Rather and basically got him fired, right? And they note, he writes in here in his piece, under Now It Can Be Told, Kenneth Vogel is the guy who wrote the piece in New York Times, fails to mention the work of the 51 former intelligence officials to protect the exposure of the Biden family business and denigrate the authenticity of Hunter Biden's laptop in the run-up to the 2020 election. Rather, he says in the quoted paragraph, Hunter Biden's laptop makes a cameo appearance in his story because he just barely touches on it. He says that the State Department, you know, the Times challenged the thoroughness of the State Department's FOIA search, noting the department failed to produce responsive records contained in the cache of files connected to a laptop that Hunter Biden had abandoned at a Delaware repair shop that he had abandoned. Now we're saying that he abandoned the laptop when at first everyone was saying it was stolen, even though he left it there for like a year. I mean, I'm telling you, this is just, it's crazy. They're doing this now. Hunter Biden is no longer protected anymore. No longer protected anymore. There you go. Interesting how they have decided to switch gears on that. Such garbage. And oh, now the media is interested in asking questions. We have more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Let's see. Oh, I wanted to hit this real quick. Missouri voters could face a choice between continued abortion ban. It's not a ban. And a new constitutional amendment. Remember the lives of the mother, all that. That's all. It's like there's all exceptions in that. So this is something that, of course, Democrats are going to seize on this. Voters will decide in November whether or not to guarantee the right to abortion. Oh, my gosh. Or just, I don't know. With a constitutional amendment that would reverse, again, the state's near total ban. It's not banned. You just can't use it as taxpayer funded birth control. That's the whole thing. That's all it is. I mean, it's not. The exceptions are already in the law. So just to clarify on that for all the media. Let's see. This school district canceled a field trip because of low test scores. Maybe they should also cancel some of their teachers' trips if they're not having that impact in the classroom. Good heavens. This school district, apparently it's Fayette County Schools. This is in Fayette County, Tennessee. They made the announcement on social media, and apparently the parents are just now finding out. They said due to low test scores, they're canceling all the field trips, and teachers have been instructed to concentrate on math and reading. And they said, well, the field trips, some of the people are saying the field trips are meant to be educational, so this is unfair. Yeah, you know what, though? There's some serious problems here. They need to figure out how to have a better impact in the classroom. Polar bears kill a worker at a remote radar site in the Canadian Arctic. And then a man was shot after his daughter touched the neighbor's mulch in an ongoing neighbor war. This is Michigan. Stay with us.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast. Your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Has the U.S. beat inflation, Mr. President?
Yes, yes, yes. I told you we're going to have a soft landing. We're going to have a soft landing. My policies are working. Start writing that way, okay?
What? What in the world? No. So this, the inflation, the idea that, well, does inflation, yeah, it's solved. It's all good. Inflation's fine. It doesn't sound fine. By the way, did you guys see this interview? Where's this at? This is audio soundbite 14. It's a woman in Philadelphia. This is not a laughing matter to her. There's no joy in this for her. Listen to what she says about inflation.
How hard has inflation hit you?
It hit me hard. It's hitting me hard.
Who do you blame for it?
I blame the federal government at this point. If a working class mom who works as a paralegal cannot buy a $2 bell pepper because it's now $5, imagine a mother living on food stamps. Mm. Imagine a mother who's making minimum wage trying to feed children. Mm. They're killing us without killing us.
That's an ad. Killing us without killing us. It's not, this way this stuff isn't funny. You know, you see them come out there and they're like, they say, well, it's cooling. It's not cooling. That's such an insult. It is such an insult. Inflation isn't cooling. It hasn't reduced. It hasn't gone down. People are broke. They're absolutely broke. And you got this one ticket talking about more taxes. I mean, they've been, you know, the Harris-Walz ticket. I mean, remember, taxpayers were already exploited to mask the Medicare premium hikes before the election. And that was all in that, again, Inflation Reduction Act. Kane, who was the deciding vote on that again?
Oh, that was Kamala Harris, the vice president.
Correct. Kamala Harris, vice president. The rate increases, you're going to see people, they're tripling costs. Add that on top. Add that on top of inflation and everything else. In fact, it was reported that it was supposed to cap out-of-pocket drug costs for Medicare beneficiaries, and now they're going to hike monthly premiums with average bids for Part D plans expected to triple by next year. Now, remember, they had to spend billions. They had to borrow some money and move some money around because they were looking at EV stuff. Don't forget that. That's on top of everything. So it's getting the people who are at the older end of the spectrum. It's getting the people at the younger end of the spectrum. The families. Families trying to put food on the table, trying to keep, you know. I mean, we're getting ready to start a school year. And, you know, are parents even able to afford to get their kids everything that they need to go back to school? I know there's all these back-to-school drives and stuff like that, and it feels like there's more than ever. It needs to be more than ever now because of the state of things. What's going to happen in November? Can you imagine? This is what, if you lose in November, you better pray to God that you keep the house. Otherwise, get ready to lose everything. Not kidding. Has anybody else been having the discussion, like what happens if, you know, Democrats gain control of the House and the White House? And then even if they just keep this, you know, pretty much even division in the Senate, you know how tough that's going to be? If losing the White House and the House, you just best hope that the numbers are small enough that it just creates gridlock. Because I'm not kidding you, it's going to be bad. Who knows how many more stations like we'll be on? What's going to happen if Soros decides to flex his muscles with some of the stations that he's been buying? Nobody knows. Everything is up in the air. And that's what we're all looking at. That's all staring us down in November. So we laugh and, you know, we make, because it's all you can do. It's so insane. I want to point this out as well, because I wrote about this last night over at Substack. If you get the newsletter, I have a piece out about this. It was about that soundbite that we had. And the more I thought about it yesterday after the show ended, the madder I got. Fauci shocked that he was still getting the Wu flu, even though he was infinity vaxxed and boosted. And he was saying it was his third infection, etc. What gets me? Because in 21, he went and said, remember, he said vaccinated people become dead ends for the coronavirus after saying that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, right? Big Pharma got to rush out a taxpayer-funded holy experimental shot that did more for their profits than actually did for, you know, real inoculation, and prevent the tap public from running dry. Lawmakers sought to mandate the shots annually. We knew all of this. It was all performative. people were arrested, they lost their businesses, all this stuff. It is wild to me that we had one of the greatest acts of government overreach in our history, in modern history, not just United States history, modern history. This is the first general election, the first presidential election since then. And that's not the top issue. This should be the reckoning. This election cycle should be just called the Reckoning 24. This is the first time you are actually getting to hit back during a presidential election, a major election. And we're talking about joy and weird and what? They're doing everything that they can. Honestly, both sides, I think, to move around the most heinous overreach of government in the modern era. I am just, my mind's blown with this. I mean, you had people who fell behind, kids fell behind academically. Another generation of older kids missed out on years of normalcy during one of the most crucial periods in their lives. It changed culture and society. And this is not the reckoning for that. I don't give a rat's ass about your weird or about your joy or about anything else. This election should be an absolute reckoning for this, and it's not. People are so fickle. It only took 4 years, didn't it? And then everyone seemed to have forgotten all the hell they went through, right? Your churches were forced to close, and your pastors went along with it. Now, you might have lost your job. Maybe you had to watch a parent die alone because you were prevented from being near them. Maybe your kid flunked or developed some kind of personality issue because they had to be sequestered for a year and a half when we were told 15 days to slow the spread. Maybe it changed you. I mean, I think throwing an actual virgin into a volcano would have done more for inoculation and all of that than the damn jab and all the nonsense that they did in the wake of it. I mean, it's amazing that this is not entirely focused on that. And why? Why? Why is it that close? People are people forgetting that Kamala Harris was the vice president when they were demanding not only that businesses stay closed, but that schools stayed closed? Are people forgetting the fact that they did a $1.9 trillion spending spree that just dragged us into the pits of economic hell? And then their solution to get out of it was to spend more money, hire IRS agents, and go after your tips. While then turning around and pretending that, no, we also don't like tax on tips. You literally created more of them. And greater scrutiny under the bill that presidential candidate on the Democrat side was the determining factor for. The vote that determined it. It was a tie. And the fact that Republicans aren't hammering any of this, what the hell is wrong with you? Golly, come on. We were looking over some of the polls. Am I alone in feeling that? Why isn't this like the reckoning? Why is this not the reckoning? I don't know. Maybe, Kane, people's memories are short. Yeah. Is that it?
That's what Democrats count on.
I know people get tired of talking about it and they want to move on. But you keep getting more of this stuff when people are not held accountable for it. That's the problem. And it's going to get worse. I mean, we were just talking about the Inflation Reduction Act raided. I mean, it stole almost $300 billion out of Medicare for green energy handouts. All the EV stuff, we talked about this, all the EV stuff that they were funding, the green energy, the big green energy, that whole plan that Biden-Harris was pushing, they raided Medicare for that. And now That's why Medicare is seeing sky-high premiums now. That's why the 2025 bids for standalone Part D plans have skyrocketed to 179%. They are literally raiding from Medicare now so that they can pay insurers to not do anything until after the election because they don't want the boomers to get mad and vote against them. Where's the Republican messaging on this? I mean, where's this at? That's what happened. They're soaring. You have seniors that are already struggling with record inflation. And now this on top of it. So you're having to pay because Democrats took your money to pay for their Green New Deal. That's not an exaggeration. It's not hyperbole. It's God's honest truth. That's what happened when you got the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed because Kamala Harris broke the tie. And Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So from April of 24, this is data.cms.gov. There are six. This is from April 24, 67.3 million Americans enrolled in Medicare. Now, they're all hoping that none of you notice. Just to get through the election. They'll deal with it after they win. But they just want to get through the election right now. So we're going to pay off the insurers to keep them quiet. Let's not spike premiums. Let's not do any of this until after November. And then if Democrats win, then they can have it. But you know what's going to happen? Even if Republicans win, they're going to have to deal with this. You know this, right? Because the money was already taken. So what's the Republican plan to deal with this? Gosh, I wish that J.D. Vance would figure out a way to ask himself that question in front of the press. What is the Republican plan to deal with the Medicare premium spike brought on by Democrats, Biden-Harris, raiding it to pay for their Green New Deal? Well, I'll tell you. I wish he would do that. Hell, I wish Trump would do it.
The media would never ask that question.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They got to ask themselves.
So frustrating.
You have to learn how to ask yourself the question that the media is not going to ask you. See, that's the fun with dealing with the press. That's why I wish all these candidates would understand. You don't have to answer what they ask because they're all going to be stupid and dumb anyway. You take the question and you mold it into something that you want to get out there, that you want to answer, like this. No, they're not going to say a thing about it. They're just hoping that you don't notice.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If I'm Donald Trump, I understand why he doesn't want a debate. Kamala Harris is
prosecutor.
He said yes to
September 4th, September 10th, September 17th. He said yes to a lot of them. So it's not that he's obviously afraid to debate.
No. He had agreed to September 10th on ABC.
With Biden, who got pushed out.
What's the difference? Why should he not debate whoever the candidate is on September 10th as he agreed to? What is the difference between candidate Biden and candidate
it's fine.
Harris?
He said he would do it. I'm just saying he's also agreed to other debates. You said he hasn't agreed to others. He has. It's the Kamala Harris campaign that hasn't agreed on the other side.
Oh, Brett Baer is always very unflappable. He very much is. Very nice guy. Super nice guy. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Who was that jackwagon? That was, that was, Goldman. I was like, that's right, Goldman. Who, Democrat representative, who I don't know what he thought he was trying to accomplish there. He was so combative. He was the one who didn't understand what they were talking about. And then he got really mad at Brett Baer because Brett Baer apparently did. It's like, no, that's not true. What's the difference? Does that not tell you everything that you need to know? What's the difference? There's a big difference there. And it didn't matter. He agreed to Harris is and Brett Baer is right. He only agreed to one. Or she only agreed to one. Kamala Harris only agreed to the one debate. Remember, we played that audio when she was asked by a friendly reporter who had said, what about the other two debates? What about the other two? It's what he said. And she just like went on. She's like, I'm going to pretend I'm taking pictures with people. She just wasn't.
It gives you an indication that Democrats didn't care that they screwed up their voters and they screwed them over by taking Biden out and putting Harris in. He was like, what's the difference? What's the difference, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's, you know, screw you guys. You guys are just performative.
Yeah.
Yeah. The voters are just, that's just kind of, it's a formality, but not a necessity. All right. Today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. This is our president. I asked this yesterday. Is he a president? Is he still?
Where is he?
Did he resign or did he just drop out of running for 2024? Okay. Anyway, this is him talking about when he's going to cut cancer deaths in half. Listen to this.
We're mobilizing a whole country effort to cut American cancer deaths in half. Yep. By 2020 and within 25 years.
By 2020 and within 25 years?
4 years ago.
Wow. So he's already done it?
He's done it, and then 25 years.
So is he bragging about already doing it, or that he's gonna? That's a good...
Is that a question? Yeah. I know. I don't know.
Inquiring what? Minds want
to
know.
Yeah, we kind of would like... We'd like to...
It just, to me, on the surface, sounds stupid.
There you have it. All right, folks, make sure you sign up over at Substack, the newsletter. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe as well. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.